Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Bechiras Daf Yates. We begin at the Mishnah, which is two lines from the top. Says the Mishnah, Yoytzei Doifen, we have an animal giving birth unnaturally by cesarean. So, before we begin, we're going to discuss the what defines the term Bechir pertaining to firstborn human, Bechir Adam, pertaining to firstborn kosher animal, Bechir Behemah Tahira, which is delivered to the Kohen, processed as a carbon. We have, last but not least, the Peter Hamar, right, firstborn donkey, with its procedure. So what is considered firstborn? How do we define the term Bechir? There are basically three variations, three possible definitions of the term Bechir. It can be the first overall, first offspring period. It can be the first male. And thirdly, it can be the first naturally born offspring, because it followed a cesarean birth, which preceded this one. So the term Bechir must be first defined before we know how to proceed and how to apply it. Says the Mishnah, suppose you have a Bechir which only contains one element of firstness. He's not a complete Bechir. He's not the first, you know, first born, the first natural birth. He just has one element. He's a Yetzer Doifen, so he's the first birth, but he was born unnaturally by cesarean. So he has one element of firstness, the first birth. How about Achrav? And the offspring that follows that one. And this one was born naturally. Derech the womb, the Rechem. So he also has an element of firstness. He's the Peta Rechem. He opened the Rechem. He was discharged by the Rechem. First one. But in terms of general, you know, offspring count, he's number two. So each one of these, suppose they're animals, firstborn animals, each one of these animals has an element of Bechir to it. But it's not a complete Bechir. The first one is the first offspring, but not by way of natural birth. The second one is the first natural birth, but it's not the first offspring. What is their status? Rabbi Tarfon Omer, we're not really sure. There's an uncertainty here. There's a suffix whether one element of firstness suffices to give you status of Bechir, Shneim. So both animals, the owner will keep them, hold on to them, but treat them in special fashion. He'll have to let them go or send them out to pasture to get a blemish, and then only then can he shecht and eat it. Because they're possibly considered Bechir. Shneim Yirach Yisto. They are both sent out to pasture until they get a blemish. The Ochlu B'mum and the Baal. In which case, the owner eats them once they're blemished. Because there's a suffix whether this constitutes Bechir. Rabbi Kiva, I'm in a way. Unless you're complete and total Bechir. Born naturally, the first offspring, period. No ifs or buts. Unless you completely, wholly, totally, completely a Bechir, you're not a Bechir. Rabbi Kiva, I'm Shnein, Einan Bechir. Both are not a Bechir. You know why? Harishain. The first one, because he was not born naturally, he's not Peter Rechem. He was born by cesarean. Now, Shani, the second one, was preceded by the first. He's not the first offspring. He's preceded by the first one. But my commitment, what's the Machoikas about? Tarfon is Sapkali. Tarfon is not sure. If a single element of firstness suffices to give it Bechir status, Msapkali Bechir Lidavar Echad. He's a Bechir regarding one aspect. Yahweh Bechir Allah is considered a Bechir or have Bechir or not. Keep it Pshita, keep it simple to him. It's obvious. The Bechir means totally and completely. Anything less than that does not cut it. Bechir Lidavar Echad, a Bechir to a single element is not a Bechir. Tanu Rabbanu. Here comes the price. which will elaborate on the psukim. I talk about Bechor. Now, before we proceed, if you have it on the side, it's very convenient to take a look at the psukim. So we have Kaddish L'Kol Bechor, right? Referring to all types of Bechor, firstborn males, firstborn animals, right? Peter Kol Rechem, Bivnei Yisrael Ba'adam, right? Ba'behem Alihu. Kaddish L'Kol Bechor here is a very general term, all Bechor. Then we have a pasuk in Dvarim. Kol HaBechor Asher Yivolad B'Bechor Chobetzencho, HaZochar, Tadish Hashem, so it's limited to Zochar. We have another pasuk in Shemais. V'anata kol peter rechem l'Hashem. Clearly, it only applies to peter rechem. A natural birth, through the rechem. And the first one, discharged by the rechem. Tan Rabbanan. So this braisa will focus on three of the... it's actually the well-known braisa. Braisa Rabbi Shmuel, that we say in the morning. That... presents all the, the 13 Yud Gimel Midos, Shatur and Drasha spend 13 forms of derivation. Some are more well known than others. We have first Klalo Prat, right? Discussed many times in the Gemara. Klalo Prat, a general term followed by a limiting term. For instance, a classic example is the Pasuk at the beginning of Vayikra, we have bring a karma mina behema, which indicates all behema. Then the Torah, limits it. Bakar, Menatzoin. That's a klal, followed by a prat. That's called klaloprat. Then we have two more that would be discussed in this coming brice. One is called a klal hatzorech leprat, a general term which is as yet undefined until it's followed by a prat, a more detailed, more definitive description, which sheds light on the klal, which needs that clarity. See, that's different than a klal prat. Standard klal prat does not need a prat. Mina behema, right? In the aforementioned example. Mina behema, all types of behema. Cover everything. There's no need to elaborate further. Comes the pasuk, mina boker, mina tzoyin, which limits it. That's called klal uprat. But here we're talking about klal hatzorach uprat. He needs it. He relies on the prat to explain, to elaborate, to clarify what he had in mind. Otherwise, it remains in the dark. It's undefined. Thirdly, we have Prat HaTorach HaKlal, which is very similar. It's a more detailed expression, which is undefined, which requires the Klal to explain it and to clarify it. Tanu Rabbanan. We're going to talk about Miklal HaTorach LaFrat, and also Miprat HaTorach HaKlal, Ketzat. So first, as Rashi explains, we're going to start with a standard Klal HaPrat. Pasuk begins, Kaddish L'Kol Bechor, sanctify any Bechor. Any Bechor, irrespective of gender. Male, female, all alike. Yochel afilu nekeva, mashal, perhaps even a nekeva is considered kadosh and bechor. Talmud Lomar Zoch comes the next pasuk and says Zohar. This is your classic klal prat. Kol bechor any, Zohar limits it to a Zohar. Okay, good. Checked off. Next. Now comes klal hatzorach prat, a general term which is a bit undefined, which needs further elaboration. And next, part B of the braisa. Okay, so we discussed the first drasha, here comes the second drasha. Is Zachar, if only from Zachar, Yachal perhaps, afilu yatsu nekeva lefanav? You have a first male. Even if he was following a nekeva, so the... the Keva was born first, naturally born, right? Derech Rechem, nothing unusual. So he's really the second, but he's really the first in terms of male offspring. He's the first Zachar. There's an element of firstness there. Is that enough to consider him a Bechor? He's a partial Bechor, right? Like we explained before, he's not a full and total Bechor, he's not the first offspring, but he's the first Zachar. Talmud Lomar comes. Another pasuk then specifies peter rechem. It has to be the peter, the one that's peter the rechem, the one that opened, the one that was discharged first from the rechem, the first naturally born. So this is a klal hatzorach leprat. Zachar would seemingly include even this fellow, because he's the first zachar. Comes the pasuk peter rechem, says no, you have to be the firstborn. Okay. part 3 of the Braisa, which is going to be a Prat HaTzarach HaLaklal. I Petarechem, if only from Petarechem, I would say. Okay, so you have to be the first naturally born. That gives you the status of Bechor. Yochel. Okay, so perhaps Afilu Yotza, even if this naturally born Zohar came out after, Achar Yotzeh Doifin came out after his sibling that was born unnaturally. Perhaps this Zohar that was born naturally, that's the first natural birth of this animal, perhaps that qualifies as Bechor because he's the first naturally born. Tamalayma Bechor. Comes the pasuk and says, no, Bechor, which is a general, more broad term, which teaches that it has to be really first, all around. So this is a prat, a detail which requires that generalization, a general term to elaborate and explain and confirm. No. Limited firstness is not enough. You have to be a full and complete first. It's not enough that you're the first naturally born offspring. You have to be absolutely first. The first offspring, period. Because that's what Bukhari means. He's the absolute first. Okay, so we have three parts to the price. Part one was Kol Bukhar perhaps includes even females. No, Zohar is the prat. Only male first. Part two of the price. Okay, if it's only Zohar, I would say, okay, the first Zohar. As long as there's an element of firstness. So suppose an Akeva came out first, and then comes the Zohar, he's still a Bukhar. No, Petarechem, he has to be the first naturally born. Okay, part three. What if he's the first natural birth, but was preceded by an unnatural birth? Tamalei Bechor. That doesn't work. You have to be absolutely the first, all around. The first offspring. So you have to be a male offspring and the first of all offspring. And of course, born Derech Petarech. Now, we seem to have a little bit of a seeming contradiction in this Braisa. Because, you know, this Braisa, the way it concluded in the last section, in part 3, was certainly in line with Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah, that the term Bechor insists on absolute firstness. He has to be a complete and total first. It's not sufficient to have an element of firstness. You have to be the absolute first on the scene to be qualified as a Bechor. But if we backtrack to the second part of the Braisa, where we speculated perhaps, you know, even just having an element of firstness, being the first male on the scene, would suffice. So how did the Braisa negate that? It should have just said, okay, well, that doesn't fit with the word Bechor. Bechor is a complete first. Rather, the Braisa went to a different pasuk, Petarechem. Why? Amli Rafravi Labai. What does Bechor mean? Does it mean complete? So why don't we just use it in the middle of the Braisa as well, to knock out the partial first, just as we did in the third part of the Braisa. Amli Rafravi Labai, Reisha. In the earlier part of the Braisa, in part 2, Loikonosav Lotamud Bechor. The Braisa did not come back with the word Bechor to disqualify the partial first. Why? Alma? Apparently, because at that point in the Braisa, Bechor, the Braisa considers a partial Bechor. Anybody that has an element of firstness to be considered a Bechor. That's why he could not rule it out from the word Bechor. But then a minute later, in the third part of the Braisa, we do exactly that. Seifa, the Braisa presents the word Bechor to rule out anything which is less than a complete and total Bechor. Alma, apparently, Bechor means all-encompassing. Bechor, but just a limited Bechor with a single aspect of firstness is not enough. We have a Bechor. Isn't this inconsistent? Amar Lasi says, you're right. Certainly the Braisa holds. The term Bechor refers to a complete Bechor, as opposed to a partial Bechor. We have to reword the middle of the Braisa. It wasn't a matter of partial or complete. It was addressing a different point altogether. Who's to say that a Bechor has to be born naturally? That was the question. The answer was Petarech. Very straightforward question and answer, unrelated to partial or complete. Is Zachar, if only from the word Zachar, Yachal perhaps affiliates a Dafin, even if he was born unnaturally. It qualifies as a Bechor Tamlim, Peta Rechem, it's born naturally. Okay, so point out, by clearly the word Bechor denotes a complete, total firstness. Rabbi Amar says, no, not so quick, Lo'ilam. Certainly Bechor, Ludover Echad, even a single element of firstness, Hava Bechor qualifies, can be labeled Bechor. As per the middle part of the Brisa. That's why the Brisa did not prove from Bechor to negate a partial Bechor, because Bechor by definition doesn't mean all around first. Even an element of firstness would be enough. So then what does the Brisa mean at the end? The Brisa suggested that perhaps a natural birth, but he followed an unnatural birth, perhaps it qualifies, Tamlim Bechor doesn't, which sounds like at this point, the Brisa considers Bechor to be total and complete. No, the Sefer HaKamah, the Brisa at the end just means it's not based on the translation. It's just based on a ribui, on the seemingly unnecessary expression of the pasuk. It's a ribui, it's an extra word which comes to address this case. So it's not by way of the meaning of the word, rather the presence of the word, the extra word, which is coming to rule out and to further define and limit the realm of Bechor, of acceptable Bechor. The Sefer HaKamah, the Brisa at the end, just means to say like this: Isa kadaitach yotza achar yotze defin kadosh. If you will that the one that's born after yotze defin should be kadosh. In other words, a partial firstness is enough. An element of Bechor, he's the first natural birth. That is sufficient to grant him that label. So why the extra pasuk? Bechor. The word Bechor, the cause of Rachmanat, the pasuk says. Lomali, what's that for? Rashi explains in the bottom line. It could have simply said, Peta Rechem Zachar. That's it. So he's the first natural birth, male, great. Why add the word Bechor? Turn to my base. Ilamuti hecha the yatsa nekevel afanav. Is it simply coming to rule out a case where there was a nekeva that preceded him naturally through the rechem? Well, that's been excluded already. Mipata rechem nafka. We already have a pasuk, Petarechem, the first out of the womb. He's the second. So why does the pasuk add this expression, Bechor? Elishma mino. Apparently the pasuk is highlighting that this doesn't work. That if he's the second birth, even if he's the first natural, Elishma mino, we learn from here, Bechor. The word Bechor is lemute, to exclude this case, Hecha. A case where the Yotze is born naturally, achar Yotze Defin, after an unnatural birth. So although he's the first natural, but overall, he's not the first offspring, so he's excluded. Hechad Yotze, achar Yotze Defin. So bottom line is, Rashi explains, ultimately, Abaye and, both Abaye and Ravina are going to end up at the same destination, that a partial Bechor doesn't cut it. You have to be absolutely, completely Bechor. The first all around. It's a question of how to get there. According to Abaye, straightforward, he says, look, Bechor means a complete Bechor. First birth. It's not enough that you're the first male, or you're the first natural birth, you have to be the first birth. Whereas according to Ravina, it's not so simple. It's not by way of definition. It's by way of the fact that it's an extra pasuk, which ups the standards, ups the bar. Right, like we explained, the term Bechor technically can relate to three elements of firstness. First male, the first natural birth, and ultimately the first birth. So the extra pasuk ups it and requires it to be completely first. Says the Gemara. But if it's just by way of extraness, not by way of actual definition, so yeah, it ups the standard. But who says it ups it that far? Perhaps the Torah is simply saying, look, it's not enough to have a single element of firstness. You have to have another element of firstness. You have to be the first natural birth. And the first male. But let's say, listen to this, let's say he's the first naturally born and the first male. But he's not the first offspring. Why? Because he was preceded by a female animal who came out unnaturally. Perhaps that's okay. Perhaps that's enough. He has two elements of firstness. Again, if the word bechor by definition requires a full and complete bechor, okay, so we're done. No questions asked. But if it's not a technical definition, it's just the extra word, the extra pasuk, is upping the standards, requires more elements of firstness. So who says all elements are needed? Maybe it's enough to be the first male and the first natural born. Who says you have to be the absolute first on the scene? Amalei Rav Acha Medifta Ravina. Yes, Ravina. If you're going to tell me that Bechor technically could refer to one element of firstness, and it's only because it's the extra pasuk which tells you that it's not enough. Okay, but who says to go all the way and require so much and complete total firstness? Tenach. I understand Hecha the Yatza Zachar Derech Daifin. I understand. I'll grant to you in a case where the first Zachar came out unnaturally, V'Zachar Derech Rechem, the second one came out naturally. The Lei Kaddish, certainly that's not going to be Kaddish. Dimit Bechor, because it's excluded from Bechor. Why? The Bechor L'Recham Mika, although he's the first natural, he has that element, but Bechor L'Zacharim Lech, he doesn't have the element of being the first Zachar, because he was preceded by the other Zachar. Well, the Vladis Lech is certainly not the firstborn. Ella, but in the case where he has two out of three, Lehecha the Yatzah in the Keva Derech Daifin, if the first one was in the Keva unnaturally, V'Zachar Derech Rechem, comes the next one, a Zachar naturally, L'Kaddish, perhaps he gets Kedusha, Da'ika Bechor L'Zacharim Bechor, the Rechem has two elements on his side. He has two factors in favor. He's the first Zachar and the first Rechem. So how would you know to exclude it? Which the Brisa seems to do. The Brisa says that anybody that falls in a keva, even if she was born unnaturally, he's out. Ella machbar the Abaye. Apparently the correct approach is like Abaye. Actually says the Mashmu'usei. The definition, the meaning of the wording of Bechor means complete and total firstness, which excludes everything else. Says the Mishnah. Okay, so a fellow bought an animal from a guy. It's a young sheep, a young goat. And Mazel Tov, there's a new offspring in the barn. Now, how would I know if it's a first or a second? Says Rabbi Shmuel, I'll give you a very simple age formula to determine, to confirm that in fact it's a first. If the animal is too young who have already experienced a birth prior to this, then you know this is the first one. Halakech behimim ebgicham. A person buys an animal from a guy. Behimim ebgicham is not showing bichra, whether it already had an offspring, whether it's a veteran. Even like bichra, whether it's her first time. Rishmol aimer, look, it's all age related. A is you have a goat, bas shnasa. If she's birthing within her first year of, you know, her first birthday, bad lakon, you know, this is her first time. It's impossible that this will be her second birth. She's too young. Mekan Reilach, but past her first birthday, you don't know. Maybe it's her second time. Suffix, you have to give it a status of suffix. You know what we do? We hold on to it until it gets a mum, etc. By a rachel, by a sheep, it's bashtayim. Cut-off period is 2 years. Vad l'koin, until that point, you know for sure it belongs to the koin. Mekan Reilach, suffix, past that point is suffix. Par v'chamor, cow and a donkey, by a sholish, it's about 3 years old. Right? So until 3 years old, vad l'koin. It certainly goes to the Kohen, it's her first time. Past that point, it's a Suffolk. Okay, so Kohen Shmuel, fairly simple. So, let's say by the goat. Anything below a year is her first time. Past that point, we're not sure. I'm a little bit curious. Kivi takes issue with this absolute time frame. He says, look, you're right if it's all about, you know, birthing a live, viable offspring. But, you know, even if the animal would discharge some sort of miscarriage or some sort of clump which has a status of a birth, a semi-birth, then that's her bechira, rendering the next one a non-bechira, exempting the next one. So yeah, she's pretty young to have undergone two live births, but maybe she had experienced a tinuf, this charge of this material, which renders which is considered halachically like a birth. So you never know what's going on. Amar le Rabbi Akiva, ilu bevlad bilvad habehima nifteris, if you need a live, viable, you know, vlad to exempt the animal, kedvarecha, then I'm with you. A proper, properly formed vlad, even if it's not viable, but if he's properly formed, she's too young for that. Meaning, it's certainly her first time. She hadn't done it before. El Amro, but we know the Chachamim tell us, Simon HaVlad BeBehem, what's considered a sign of birth? What constitutes a leida? Mehim Adaka, by a, you know, a light animal. Tinuf, just a tinuf. A glove or something, which Ubagasa, by a heavy animal. It's a shilya, it's a sack, Be'isha, by a woman. Regarding her Allah, it says a shvir. Rashi says, Oyer, Sheish Batsuris HaVlad, partially formed, you know, fetus. A shilya or a sack. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it's not about the age formula. Rather, it's as follows. If you have it confirmed that she already gave birth, the Kohen has no claim on the subsequent birth. When you know with certainty she hadn't done it earlier, this is her first, absolute first discharge, or is it Kohen? So you know it goes to the Kohen himself. You don't know. The owner keeps it and eats it when it gets him. So back to Rishmo, who says the birth by the A's up until a year is certainly her first, goes to the Kohen, but past that point, we don't know. We're going to dwell on the second aspect. What do you mean past that point, we don't know? It's most likely animals, that's how they do it. They breed, they birth, right? It's just a natural progression. You have a rave, majority of animals birth immediately, right? And we can assume that once she's a year old, she's past her first. So why is it a suffix? Why do we have to treat it like a suffix? You know for sure, based on majority, based on rave, that it's her second experience. My suffix, why past a year is it a suffix? Halech achar rave behemoth, follow the majority of animals. For rave behemoth, the natural course of events is misaber siyolus. They carry, they conceive, and they birth. Ninu, within a year. And this goat, which is past the year, and certainly this one, Meila Doyle, already gave birth. Lamer, Rishmo, Kramei, Sfirle. Do you want to suggest that Rishmo follows Rameh, who says, well, even when there's a rave factor in your favor, you have to be concerned about small percentages? And we don't pass on Kramei, so why would Rishmo go with that? Says the Gemara, Afilo Temer Rabban, you know what? Rabbi Shmuel, who applies the suffix status past the year, can be in line with the Rabbanim as well, who typically follow the majority factors. But here it's different. You know why? Ki azli basaruba. When do Chachamim abide by the majority factors? Beruba the isek haman, when the majority factor is present, it's in front of you. As opposed to our scenario, where it's not a majority that's here, it's a theoretical conceptual majority. The way of the world is, the natural progression of events, it's a totally different type of rave. That's not an absolute confirmation. So what's an example of a Ruba Disikamon? Kigan Tisha Chanuya is a classic. You know, found pizza meat in the street, 9 stores selling kosher meat, 1 non-kosher, so you follow the rave. So you have these stores in front of you, you can deal with it, you can reckon with them, you can relate to them. Another example of Sanhedrin, you have the court, and you follow the majority of the Dayanim, they're right here, you can relate to them. Aval Ruba Disikamon, but if it's a rave factor, it's not present. Loi Azra Banu, so Ruba Banu will not follow the rave. Really? I'll give an example of a ruba that lays a kamon, katan uktana. A zachor and a keva underage. The ruba that lays a kamon, where the factors are not present, they're not here. V'k'azli rabbanu masa ruba, rabbanu follow right? There's none. We have a mishnah, katan uktana. Lo yichotzim le miyabin. Katan uktana cannot experience chalitza or yibam, to be a mayor. We agree that they can't do chalitza because there you need an adult. Ish Ksiva Parsha Torah says that the male has to be an ish, an adult, and the female as well, makshini shel ish, we connect the two. So just as the boy has to be an adult, likewise the woman. But what about yibum? What's wrong with that? There's no stipulation of ish. Why require an adult? Amalmi says, technically there's nothing holding you back, but you never know. You see, yibum is only allowed when both the man and the woman are of childbearing ability. They have the ability to bear children. That's the whole point of yibum, to perpetuate the memory, to continue the legacy. So until they turn adult, in which case they would exhibit signs of maturity, and in the absence of those signs, you'll know that there's room to suspect that he's sterile and she's unable to bear. Until that point, until you have it confirmed, you can't take chances. Amalami says to the Chacham Katan, we're not going to allow Yibum by a Katan. Shami Matzis Soris, he might turn out to be sterile. Katana by the young woman as well. Shami Matzis Ayonis, she might be discovered to be an Ayonis, unable to bear children. Venim to Pagan Be'erva, and in which case the Yibum is unallowed. It's like marrying a relative for no good reason. Rabbanu say no. Zilba Sarupa, follow the majority. The most likely scenario is that they're healthy. Most kids out there are healthy. Roiv Ktanim, right? Roiv Ktanim lava Srisim Ninu. Most Ktanim are not sterile. Zilba Sar, Roiv Ktanis, follow Roiv Ktanis. Roiv Ktanis lava Eilinis, Eilinis Ninu. So clearly, the Chacham relate to the majority factor, even when it's a conceptual, a natural, a theoretical phenomenon. So why not do the same with the goat? Once it's past the year, most likely the animal already gave birth, and at this point, it's yours to keep. Why does Rishmol consider it a suffix? Ela marava machvarta Rishmol kremeyosvili, right? Turn to the next page. The correct understanding of Rishmol is that he's going like Rameyer, the Chayashlim Yuta, that he's concerned even about a small percentage. In which case, perhaps this goat was an exception to the rule. It's her first time, so you have to treat it as a suffolk b'chor. Ravina Amar filutim Rabban. Ravina says, you know what? Even Rabban would agree in our case that it's treated differently. And here we have to be concerned about a slight chance. Why? Ki az Rabban masaruba. When did Rabban go with the roiv factor? Beruba delay tali b'masa. When it's a roiv factor, based on action, a natural phenomenon, which is not linked to an act. As opposed to our discussion of a rubid tali and masa, here it's tali and masa, it's linked to an act, Rashi says. The animal has to be, has to mate, has to breed, right? It's a may or may not have happened. It's not an automatic thing. Loi, so here, we have to be concerned that perhaps it never occurred, and you have to treat the offspring as a suffolk b'chor, that perhaps this is the first time around, and therefore it has a din of a suffolk. Okay, so and again, we have the fellow who purchased the animal from the guy. Is a mazal tov? Is it the first? Is it the second? Rav Shmuel pins it on the time frame. He says, look, if it's within a year, it's her first. If it's past a year old, it's a suffolk. Rav Akiva disagrees. He says, even within a year, maybe there was a tinov already, and this is the second experience. In any case, why is Rav Shmuel considering a suffolk past the year, when the roiv would point to the fact that this is certainly her second time? We have two pshatim. Either we're concerned even about small percentages, unlikely possibilities, according to Rameo, or even Rav wouldn't agree, because it's a roiv, a talib, a maisa, which may never have occurred. Okay, all the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.